Well, I've kind of torn what to do. I see what time it is, and I know that everybody's going to get hungry here pretty soon. And we do have a baptism.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah. Those who think we're baptizing Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just a little bit. She's as nervous as can be, and, but she's been talking about doing this for quite some time. So she's made that decision, and she wants to do that today.
Work, all right. Right.
Well, thank you. Amen. I will say this, that I have a burden on my heart, but I don't know, maybe, just maybe, it may hold until another day. I will say this, that the scripture said that we find our rest in His Spirit.
Yes.
We find rest in Him. And there's a lot to Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
Amen. But you'll find rest for your soul. And there's nothing more that we need today, really, than rest for our soul.
Yes, sir.
On days like today, and even like right now, I'm even feeling some of the pressure of just getting on and doing and moving forward for the rest of the day. And we get so bound up. As a matter of fact, the other day, while I was walking through the park yesterday, I was just kind of taking a stroll, and everybody was walking and passing me, and that just never happens. I'm usually passing everybody else. And I made the comment to those that were around me. I said, "Man, I feel like I'm back on Majuro. Just kind of taking my time and just strolling and enjoying life and just chilling for a minute and not being too..." And how often we all feel so hurried to get done whatever needs to be done. And sometimes we're constantly looking at the clock just to see, it's already this time, it's already this time. And we're so bound by a clock. All of our labors, all of our stuff that we have to do. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. Hook up with me and learn something. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your soul." Amen. And if you need rest today for your soul, I believe that if you will take on that yoke of Jesus, you will understand that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And when you find rest in Him, you can take off all of the heavy burdens of life and the cares of this life and the temptations that often overwhelm us and drown us in shame, in fear, in guilt, in condemnation, all of those things. But when you find your place in Jesus, you can find that rest. You can find some peace in Him. And I would like to preach on that for quite some time. I'd say quite some time. I definitely could preach for the next 30 to 40 minutes on this subject. And I think there's a lot to be said. And I think that the Lord, especially last night, I was burdened down very heavily the last several days, as a matter of fact. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and preach it. Is that okay?
Amen.
Maybe I'll take the next 30 to 40 minutes and preach a little bit. I know it's getting late, but we've had a lot of extra fun stuff to do and some slides and that sort of thing. But let me preach to you today, because I feel like I need to help somebody. I feel like somebody could be helped by the word of the Lord. If we go on from that just setting that I just read there shortly, it says in Matthew chapter number 28, that was Matthew 11, 28, excuse me, Matthew 11, 28, where I just read. And then it goes on to chapter number 12. And it said, "At this time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples..." Now understand what we just read there. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He's talking about the rest. But He switches right in there, and here's a picture of Jesus walking through the corn with His disciples, and they were hungry. And he began to pluck the ears of corn, and they did eat. But when Peter, or when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Your disciples are breaking the law. They're not obeying the Sabbath day. He said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him? How they entered into the house of God and did eat and chew bread. You know, was I supposed to let Sunday school go?
Yeah.
I was, wasn't I? You kids want to go?
Yeah.
Go. That's fine. I apologize. I just heard a kid talking and I thought, you know what? That kid wants to go to Sunday school. We don't want to be there. Amen. So I'll move on a little bit further here. So as the Pharisees, as they're going out, as the Pharisees begin to bring this accusation and bring this notice to them about their situation, it took on a whole new light, and they were basically saying, "You've broken the law. You need to stop what you're doing." And he quotes to them and takes them back to where David went into the house of the Lord when his men were hungry. And they took bread from the house of the Lord, which was unlawful because it was only for the priest, the bread to eat. And so that was another unlawful thing. And then in verse number 5 it said, Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? There were some other situations that were allowable, but then there were some others that were definite lawbreakers, and that's what he was talking about. He said, "Haven't you read this, where not everything was just perfect?" And sometimes we have this ideology that everything needs to be just perfect when it really isn't perfect. We got this law that is set before us, this word of God that is here. And there's some times that the law was broken, but there was a certain purpose and a certain reason that it was done. And there was a principle that Jesus began to teach them from this. So verse number 6 of chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, again, reading on there since we've got some of the distractions gone now. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. He said, I want you to understand something right here and right now, that there's someone right here that is greater than any aspect of the temple, any aspect of the law, any aspect of all of the do's and the don'ts, the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. I'm not preaching to us today that we don't do we don't abide by the do's and the don'ts. I'm not saying to throw the law out, because you can't do that. For Jesus even said that I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law.
Amen.
I'm not here, and Jesus didn't come to say, well, we're going to get rid of that, and we're going to get rid of that. No, he said, I'm going to be the fulfillment of the law. And so in verse 7, he said, But if ye had known what this meaneth, if you understood what I'm talking about right now, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He said, I'm come not to destroy, but to fulfill. My day right now has come. And today is a day of grace and a day of mercy. Amen. And then he goes on to say, Ye would not have condemned the guiltless. If you knew what was going on right here, right now, you would not have condemned the guiltless. And verse 8, for the Son of Man is. Everybody say is.
Yes.
And we know the Son of Man is Jesus. So it says it here, for Jesus is Lord, even of the Sabbath day, even of the rest. He is the author and the finisher of the rest, of this day that was taken aside, amen, to find rest in. If we can go a little bit further and talk about this rest. Exodus chapter 35. I know we're going backwards, but I want to lay just a touch of foundation. Moses gathered all the congregation, Exodus 35 and 1. He gathered the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded, that ye should do them. He was not saying this is a good idea. He's not saying this is a suggestion. He's saying this is a commandment. It's not an option. This is not option A or plan B or C or D or whatever you and I might want to think. But God is speaking through the man Moses to the congregation. Here is what God expects of us. Verse 2 said, 6 days shall work be done, labor, do business, do all these things that need to be done. Amen. But on the seventh day, there shall be to you a holy day. A holy day. And I'm going to dissect this for just a moment. That word holy day is a sacred place or a sacred thing. It is to be sanctified, set aside, consecrated, dedicated, most holy, or simply set apart unto the Lord. And so he says, on the seventh day, do all that work on the sixth, but on the seventh, I want you to set everything aside. I don't want you working. I don't want you involved in business. I don't want you doing anything but setting your mind and your affection and your heart on me.
Yes. Amen.
Right? And then it said, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Sabbath was the Sabbath. And it comes, which means intermission. There's an intermission. There's a separation, kind of like what we already had here. We had a little bit of an intermission while we were doing this. You were shaking hands and talking and that sort of thing. And it was a little bit of a reprieve from the regimen of the schedule.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. There's a little bit of an intermission in our day-to-day grind of things. And we could even call that lunchtime if you wanted to do that. You could say that that's an intermission. It's a time to pull away and not work at that particular time. You can liken it to many different things, but it also went on and from its original text. It was to repose or desist. From exertion, used in many implied relationships. It was to cause, or to let, or to make cease, to make to fail, to leave, to put away, to put down, to make rid of, to be still. And this one is the one that caught my attention probably more than anything. It is to celebrate away from. Amen. So God was giving them instruction that it was time to celebrate away from work. Get away from the labor. Get away from all of the pressures, the stresses, the demands. Get away and celebrate. Get yourself to a place that you can be light, that you can be joyous, that you can have some peace, that you can have some rest.
Amen.
I'm teaching something here, and I hope that you will get to what I'm trying to get at. Notice it said the Sabbath of rest was to the Lord. This was a time that we are to take time aside from everything else and celebrate in the peace of the Lord, to celebrate in the joy of the Lord, to celebrate in contentment in Almighty God. This rest has multiple meanings, much like the Sabbath, but it also meant a day of atonement. I thought this very unique and interesting. It was a time of repair. It was a time of reconciliation, the time of repair from injury and sin. So this Sabbath, this rest, all those 6 days they labored, it was a time to restore. It was a time to replenish from injury or even sin. Amen. It talked about reconciliation. It was used in the early 16th century to denote unity between God and man. The original way it was spelt was one-ment. One-ment. O-N-E-M-E-N-T. Instead of atonement, it was one-ment, bringing the thought of unity between God and man. Now, When we look at that verse of scripture again in Exodus 35 and finish the last stanza, it said, "Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death." Whoever does labor, whoever goes into the place of laboring in the day that is set aside for God and the place to rest, shall be put to death. Now we know, and again, I'm going to say and make it very clear, again, he said, "I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." And this is where Jesus becomes our rest. Jesus becomes the rest. He becomes the literal Sabbath. And I'll prove that to you here in just a moment in the scripture. But let me deal with this last little piece. "Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death." That word death literally meant or to die, literally or figuratively. Causatively, to kill, to cry out, to be dead, destroyed, slain suddenly, even very suddenly. In no wise have life. You say, "Pastor, why are you taking all this time?" Well, there's a couple of folks that you've been messing around even while I've been preaching and not paying attention to a thing that I'm saying. And I feel that God has laid this message on my heart for you. And while I'm going to do my best to preach to the entire congregation, God's put this message on my heart for you. And you've sat there and messed around almost the entire time that I have been speaking and not getting anything of what I'm trying to get to you. "Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death." Both literally and figuratively. And figuratively, it's not a physical death that you will die, but right now you are dying a spiritual death.
Amen.
Amen.
Because you have not found that place in rest in the Holy Ghost in a very, very long time. If I quickly go to Isaiah chapter number 11 and verse number 10. And in that day there shall be a root out of Jesse. We know is that root out of Jesse, going through much scripture, is Jesus Christ, talking about him, which shall stand for an ensign. That word ensign is a banner or a signal pole or a standard. That Jesus will stand as a banner waver, as a signal pole, that he was set on Calvary's cross for everybody to see, to make an atonement for you and I, for our sin, to make reconciliation for us in all of our injury, both physically and mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Amen. So that Jesus was raised up as a banner, as a standard for all the people to see. Verse number 10 going on said, "To it shall the Gentiles seek." To it was speaking of Jesus, that all the Gentiles would be seeking. And here, even today, we are seeking Jesus. We are looking for him. But
yeah,
that word "seek" means to diligently inquire, to seek with great care, to seek with great care, to seek with great care. Not haphazardly, not nonchalantly, not flippantly, not half-heartedly, but to diligently inquire, to diligently look into. It even meant to resort to Jesus, to find out and even frequent. And I like the way it said that, to frequent, because we're talking about Jesus. Jesus is not something that you just tag in and play with. He's not your baby China doll that you get out every once in a while from off the shelf. He's not your little toy truck that's in the truck box or in the toy box that you pull out and play with every once in a while when you want to. But Jesus is meant to be frequented. He is meant to be sought after, to diligently look into, to resort to him for everything of your life. Jesus is the rest in which you need.
Yes, yes, yes.
Goes on to say, "And his rest shall be glorious." His rest is not static. His rest is not mundane. His rest is not something superficial. But his rest is glorious. And
yes,
very glorious, meant abundantly rich. It was splendid. It was full of honor. And I like this. It was full of good sense.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Good, sir.
I want you to think about that for a moment. This rest that I'm talking about, his rest was glorious, abundant in riches, splendid, full of honor. But he said, it's good sense. It just makes good sense to get the glory of God. It makes good sense to find rest in Jesus Christ. It makes good sense. Because there's a lot of things that we labor and we toil and we're tempted and we're tried and we fuss and we fight and we struggle. But it makes good sense to find yourself in the rest and the glory of Almighty God. It makes good sense for you to rest in the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, it does.
We don't have very many people that got good sense.
Okay.
Huh?
Amen on that.
Yeah, because you still try to struggle and work it out. Well, if I just keep on fighting, if I just keep on going, if I just keep, and you can call it perseverance, you can call it tenacity, you can call it a lot of things, but if you don't find rest in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you it's stupidity. I said it's stupidity when you continue to try to do things outside of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't make good sense to do anything outside of the Holy Ghost. We need the rest of the Spirit. And look here in the Old Testament that you would surely be put to death, literally and figuratively, if you do not find rest in the Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, you will find death.
Yes, you will.
I said you will find death. You won't be able to last. You won't be able to endure. There will be a storm. There will be some type of temptation. There will be a trial that comes your way and will sweep you off of your feet if you have not found rest in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
If we go a little bit further in Isaiah 28, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, God. Isaiah 28 and 9 said, whom shall he teach knowledge? Who's going to hear knowledge? Who is he going to teach knowledge to? And to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. I'm going to tell you today, it's sometimes a very difficult thing for us to understand from the physical to the spiritual. But that's what I'm going to try to preach for just a few more moments on. I'm going to try to take you from an Old Testament taking one day aside to repair from energy or from injury, to get repentance from your sin, find a place to rest. All that. And it was a day at that time. But I'm going to tell you today that the Holy Ghost came when Jesus died and was buried and resurrected again. And he sent the Holy Ghost to each and every one of us. That no longer is it in a day, but you can have it each and every day, every hour of the day. It doesn't have to be a time set aside.
That's right.
Amen. This is the rest, and I'm going to get there here in just a moment. But it's hard for you to get knowledge. It's hard for you to understand sound doctrine if you're not drawn from the milk, if you're not weaned from the breast, because it does take a spiritual understanding. Verse 10 said, for precept must be upon precept. Oh God, how many times have I said this over and over and over and quoted this, but I put these together instead of leaving them separate. It just leapt out to me. How can I get knowledge? How can I have sound doctrine unless I'm weaned and I'm able to start taking on some real meat and I get precept upon precept and I get line upon line and I get here a little and there a little. I've got to get something from the Word of God. But then it didn't stop there. If you read on further in verse number 11, said, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. I know we already know, most of us understand that that is the Holy Ghost. But that's how God speaks to you and I, is through his Spirit, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you are not getting into the rest, if you are not getting into the Spirit, you cannot understand what God wants you to understand.
Right.
You don't understand. it sounds like blah, 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 blah. That's exactly, it doesn't make any sense unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. From a stammering lips and another tongue, God will speak to this people. God's going to speak to you through the words of the Holy Ghost. Verse number 12 said, to whom he said, this is the rest. I'm going to hit it again. This is the rest. This speaking in other tongues. This fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. This is the rest. That rest does equate to the Sabbath. It equates to that day that was set aside. But no longer do we have it in a day, but we have it in the rest of God's Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
This Come rest on. Also goes further. And it says comfort, peace, quietness, place to abide. I'm going to tell you today that God, in this world and in this society in which we live, we can do, because here's why he had to do this. Here's why he had to fulfill the law. Because they were failing on every day of the week. So that one day that was set aside, they just still couldn't quite get it. So God said, I'm going to advance my plan. I'm going to have an update. It's going to be iOS 10.125.0009-2000. Some of y'all are paying attention, not some of you aren't. But nevertheless, there was an update that was done. And he said, you know what? I'm tired of them be feeling like failures. I'm tired of them going without everything that they could have in their life. They're trying to do it in days and weeks and months, in feasts and festivals. But I'm going to be the joy of their salvation. I'm going to be their peace. I'm going to be their rest. It's not going to be a day. It's not going to be a festival, but I'm going to come and I'm going to be everything that they need. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to give them quietness so that when I am anxious in the middle of my labor, I can call on the name of the Lord. I can seek his face. I can call on his name and I can feel a comfort come over me. I can be in a place where my child is sick or somebody's on their deathbed where there shouldn't be any comfort. Oh, hallelujah. And God can bring a stillness. God can bring a quietness. The rest of the Holy Ghost can come in where nothing else could help. Where nothing else could penetrate the heartache and the pain and the suffering, God's Spirit can.
Hallelujah.
He said, wherewith ye may cause the weary, the faint, the thirsty, the exhausted, the lagging. You feel like you're lagging? You feel like you're tired? Oh, Jesus, help me. You feel like you're weary. You're faint of the journey. You're getting tired of all the fuss. You're getting tired of the way. It feels like you're slogging through gumbo mud. I'm going to tell you the reason why you feel that way is because it's been a long time since you found rest in the Holy Ghost. Because this journey of living for God was not intended to be a drudgery. To barely make it through life. It was not intended for you to hang your head down and be sluggish and lagging and exhausted. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, when you find the rest of the Spirit, something happens that even though there's all kinds of trouble, even though there's all kinds of temptation, there's something about the rest of the Holy Ghost. It's like those feet that were just getting more and more mud stuck to them, and it was getting heavier and heavier. Jesus just comes by, knocks the mud off your feet, and puts slicks on there, and man, you just walk and say, yeah, it may be tough, and there may be a lot of mud and gunk around me, sin and shame, oh, but I'm walking on top of it all. Why? Because I'm resting in the power of his Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So he said, wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. I'm telling you, God's got a cause for you to today to rest in Him. The heavy hands that came down, the stooped shoulders, the cast down eyes, oh, the exhaustion that you feel. God's got an answer for you. God's got an answer for you. And it is the rest of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. Now this rest was different than the comfort, the peace, and the quietness. This rest was to be settled down, to be still, and to be stable. Look at the difference there. The rest, this is the rest. He wants you to be comforted. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have a place to abide. He wants it to be in quietness. He wants you to feel confidence. But He also wants you to be stable.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I said He wants you to be stable. There's some times you, hey, just be still. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we're trying, because you know what we do? We still try to struggle and do this. Well, I got to make that work, and I got to have this, and I got to do this. And we're constantly going and going and going, and we don't know how to be still.
Oh, I love you, my
Savior.
I worship you, my God.
I know.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I know I don't know how to be still. And I know I need more of this. I need more rest, and not physical rest. I'm going to go until the day I drop, but I don't ever want to go out without my spiritual rest, because that's way more important than any hours of sleep. But I can't live. I will die without the spirit of the rest of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to die physically, and this body's going to turn back to dust, but I want to make sure that my spirit is restful. My spirit is quiet. My spirit has hope and joy and peace.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
So He says that wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. That Spirit of God that wants to come in and dwell on you, and live in you, and breathe in you, and be the very part of who you are. I'm going to tell you, that is the refreshing. That is the refreshing of all of your labor.
Amen.
Yes. Fortunately, that's not where that scripture stops.
Yes. You are beautiful, Father Jesus.
All right.
You are wonderful.
Yet they would not hear. Yet they would not hear.
What's that, Sister Kitty?
Yet they would not hear.
What was that?
Yet they would not hear.
What?
Yet they would not hear.
I hear something, but what?
Yet they would not hear.
Is that amazing? Jesus. Oh, that this is the rest in which it may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Yet they wouldn't listen.
Isn't that amazing?
I feel just like Isaiah right now.
Amen.
I said, I feel like Isaiah right now. I'm preaching to you about the rest of the Holy Ghost, and you won't listen. Oh yeah, all of your life is full of labor. It's all set with time frames. It's got all kinds of goals. It's got all kinds of selfish ambitions. It's got all kinds of dreams. But does it have any rest of the Holy Ghost? Yet they would not hear. I'm telling you today, with all the turmoil, all the struggles of life, all the sin, all the temptation, all that comes and bombards us every day, as we try to live holy, godly, separated in this present world, you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. You need the rest. Yet I beg and I plead and I say, brothers and sisters, it's so important to have a daily prayer life. Yes. And yet you will not hear. Yes. I beg, I plead, yes. I scream, yes. I pray. Yes. I've done everything I know to do, and I beg, please get a prayer life.
Yes, amen.
Please.
Amen.
It's the only hope of survival.
That's right.
Problem is, the so many of us, we tag in with Jesus, we get a little bit of electrocution, electrified Holy Ghost, and we think that we can still walk on our own.
Yeah.
Because we got a little tag in with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, this rest was not designed just for every once in a while, but it was a place that you and I could dwell continually. You could have the rest of the Spirit of God continually. It wasn't designed for one day. It's not designed for Saturday. It's not designed for Sunday. It's not designed for one day of the week, but it's designed for every hour of the day. And your heart beats.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Now I gotta read further. But the word of the Lord, was unto them precept upon precept, and line upon line, here a little and there a little. Notice that scripture was just before all that.
Right.
The scripture was line upon line, here a little and there a little. Yeah. In other words, it went back to the same old thing.
Okay.
Yep.
Went back to the same old thing. Just another verse. Yep. Just
read on.
Just another message. It went back to line upon line, precept upon precept, not meaning anything, not really changing anything inside of a heart. And then it said that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken, because they did not let the word of God that was meant to bring to them their salvation, their rest. They just took it with a grain of salt. They took it with a nonchalant attitude, and it just became the mundane every day and this and that. It became work.
Exactly. Amen on that.
It became labor. That's all of it. There was no rest there. And so what did they do? They fell backwards. They backslid.
Right. Yeah. Right.
They were snared. They were taken because they wouldn't listen to the word of God.
They don't take chances in life.
Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. You arrogant man. You proud man. You know it all, man. You think that you've got it. You know, I'm going to tell you, as I was even praying this morning, I said, God, oh, help me in the frailty of this humanity. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost, but somehow God transformed this man and let me do your will, because these are hard sayings. These are hard words. These are difficult things to preach from your word. But God, I've got to do what you've called me to do.
Amen.
I've got to preach the word that you've called me to preach. I don't want to act arrogant. I don't want to act proud and know it all. But I'm telling you what the word of the Lord said. He said, listen to the word of the Lord. And you that think you know everything, you that think you've got it all together, you that think you already know how to live for God and can't be told anything.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
He said, listen to the word of the Lord.
Preach.
He said, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with them. And an agreement with hell. When the overflowing scourge, shall pass through. Let me tell you, that word, that says, when the overflowing scourge, that word scourge means when the whip comes. When the lashes come, when the correction comes, when the chastisement comes, you say, it shall pass, and it shall not come unto us. The idea given here is, it's not going to hurt me. It won't affect me. It's not going to move me. That when precept upon precept and line upon line comes, And the word of God tries to lead us and guide us and go back to the beginning and gives us some knowledge and some sound doctrine and some sound understanding and gives us some good sense. We say, I don't need that. I can still do it my way. I can still go about and do my own thing. I'm going to tell you today, that's not going to work. And you made a covenant with death, whether you realized it or not, because he said, when you break my Sabbath, death is going to come. When you break my rest, death is going to come. When you don't find rest in me on a day-to-day basis, death is going to come. Hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing the word of the Lord today? I've got a burden. I've got a burden. I've got to preach it to you. I've got to help you today. It goes on to say, when it said that's not going to help. That's not going to touch me. You can't touch me, preacher. You can't. You don't know what you're talking about. I've listened to you long enough. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm done with all this. You can say what you want to say. You can say it won't touch me. It won't affect me. But let me tell you, when God gets the final word, when God has the final say, you will not be able to have an argument with him. And I'm going to tell you what else today, because I am being responsible with the Lord and his call. I'm going to preach to you without fear and without favor. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what kind of money you make. I don't care what kind of position you hold in the church. It doesn't matter. Those things don't sway me. They don't deter me. It means nothing to me. It means everything to me. Of what God thinks and what God says. Just want that to be understood, because I'm not going to be easily moved. God, you've always taken care of me. God, you've always had a plan. You know every situation. You know every thought and desire and intent of the heart.
Amen.
He goes on to say, for we have made or we have committed ourselves to lies in being our refuge. You bought into a lie. You've fooled yourself into believing a lie that you're all right and that you're okay and that you can do this without the rest of the Holy Ghost. You say, Pastor, this is really from one end of the spectrum to the next. You better believe it, because without the rest, you cannot make it. You cannot make heaven your home. You cannot make it without the Holy Ghost. You have got to have it. And you made lies your refuge, and under falsehood have we hid. You've secretly concealed yourself. You made a good show. You made everybody to believe that you had it all right. You have made everybody to believe that you were good and you had it everything set in order. You hid yourself in falsehood and lies. You can't keep telling yourself, I can make it, without daily prayer. And you say, why do you pray daily? No, you missed it. Without daily rest.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You pray for a half an hour, you can pray for an hour and do absolutely nothing.
That's right.
Yep.
You can say words all you want.
Right.
There's a lot of people that do that. There's two men that went up to the temple to pray. And one talked about all that he'd done and was all about himself and went on and on and on and on. But another man just pounding himself on the chest. Help me, I'm a sinner man. Help me, I'm a sinner man. When was the last time that you cried those types of prayers? God help me, I'm a sinner man. I've defiled the rest of your spirit. I've defiled the rest that I should be in. I've done injury to myself. I need some healing. I need some repair.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Isaiah 30 and 8 Stand just a few more minutes with me, please. Or stay just a few more minutes with me, please. Isaiah 30 and verse number 8 said, "Now go. Now go. Write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever." Write it down, because it's going to come. It's going to happen. It's going to remain the same. God's word does not change.
No,
he said in verse 9 of chapter 30 of Isaiah that this is a rebellious people, a lying children, children that will not hear the word of the Lord. Write it down. Write it down. Put it in your notebook, preacher. It's not going to change. The word's going to come and they will not hear. The word's going to be preached and they will not hear. The Bible said that in the last day that there's going to be a great famine. But it didn't say there would be a famine of the preaching of the word.
Right.
It said there would be a famine of the hearing of the word.
That's right.
There would be people that will starve to death, not because the word hasn't been preached, but because they would not hear.
Amen on that. Amen. Yes. Amen.
Oh, listen. Listen to the word of the Lord. Verse 10. Oh, God, hear me, hear me, hear me. Help my voice, Jesus. Which saith to the seers, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not. Don't prophesy unto us right things. Speak smooth things. Prophesy deceitfully. That the people will say, don't tell me the truth. Make me feel good.
That's right. Help us, Jesus.
Bible study the other night, they asked some questions, and I said, you know, this is one scripture that I have a hard time with. I don't have a hard time saying that to nobody. There's some tough stuff in there,
right.
But it doesn't change.
Right.
There's some things that got to be done,
right.
But it never changes.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But how is it that you want me to just smooth over? How is it that you want me not to prophesy right things? How is it that you want me to be your pastor but not tell you?
That's right.
Come on.
Right.
Over here.
11 said, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Get out of the way, preacher. Get out of my way. I'm going to do what I want. Get out. You're right in my way. And the preacher stands right in the center. Says, hold on a second. You're trying to live for God. You're trying to do this without the rest. You're trying to do all of these things without finding a place in the Holy Ghost. Please, would you stop? You're running headlong off a cliff. Would you stop? Hell's just right around the corner. Please, son, daughter, don't do this. You need to find rest in the Holy Ghost. Go back and get in touch with God again. You don't need to keep on running down this road. You don't need to keep on going this way. What you need is the rest of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Get God out of our life. Some of you are saying right now, I'm not saying that. Oh, you're not? You're not? Is that why you want to quit? Is that why you want to throw in the towel over stupid and insignificant things? Is that why you're so offended? Is that why a root of bitterness is being watered so regularly in your heart and your life? It's the same thing as saying, get out of here. Get out of my life. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perversion, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. You want to go ahead and go into that perversion and think that you can do it without what I'm preaching to you today. Your sudden destruction is on its way. Your destruction is coming right around the corner because you're smarter than your man of God. You're smarter than your preacher. You think you know more. You think you know all the ins and outs. You think you got it all figured out. And I don't like preaching like that, but I want to tell you that God has set me as a watchman on the wall.
Yes.
And I got to sound the trumpet. And I got to sound the alarm.
Yes.
Because I will not be responsible for the blood that's on your shoulders.
That's right.
I'm going to make a certain sound. I'm going to sound the alarm because I want you to be good and forewarned when you step out of the city gates and you're destroyed and you go ahead and do whatever you want to do. That you cannot turn around and point your finger back at me on the wall and say, why didn't you tell me? I'm telling you loud and clear right now. If you don't get back to getting full of the Holy Ghost and get your pride out of the way, your demise is imminent.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Man, Pastor, this ain't much for a good Sunday morning message on a first Sunday. I believe it is a good message.
Yeah.
I believe it will help somebody. Because I believe there's some people in this house that they don't want to be lost. They don't want to go the wrong direction. They don't want to get out from protection. And they're tired of the weariness of the world. Verse 14, he shall break it in as the breaking of a potter's vessel, and it is broken into pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in a bursting of a shard to take up fire from heart. There's no repairing this pottery. There's no repairing this vessel, and to take water with all without into the pit. There's no way it's going to leak like a sieve. Verse 15 said, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. See, I didn't leave you there in despair. In returning and rest, there shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Oh, I wish this wasn't here. I wish this next stanza wasn't there. If you got your Bible, you'll see why I don't want it there. Because, oh, I got some hope in my return and rest, and I'll be saved. I'll have quietness. I'll have confidence and strength. And then the last stanza said, and ye would not. Oh, God. After all the promise, you see, because the man of God couldn't make it happen. He couldn't force it. He couldn't say, you do it, you have to do it. He can say that all he wants, but ultimately, it's up to you.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I want the refreshing, I want the rest, I want the comfort, I want the quietness, but I can't want the quietness of my soul more than you do.
That's right.
I can't want rest for you more than you want rest for you.
That's right,
amen. Get ready to play. Jeremiah 6 and 15 said, Were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? When they had committed these sins? When they had done these evil things? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. I'm reading from Jeremiah 6 and 15. They were not ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. When I gave you an opportunity to to repent. When I gave you an opportunity to be restored, to be renewed, you wouldn't even blush at your sin. You wouldn't even blush at your arrogance. You wouldn't even blush at your pride. You wouldn't even act like there was anything wrong, because you're so far above that. You're so high above all of that.
Thank you. Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and seek and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. There isn't some magic potion, some other way, some other calculation that you're going to find rest, that you're going to find peace. There's no other way to find respite for your soul. There's no other way that you can find joy and peace except through the rest of the Holy Ghost. You gotta go back to the old path. You gotta go back to the only way. You gotta go back to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and a good old-fashioned praying through of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Else you are not going to make it. And again, the weeping prophet Jeremiah says, but they said, we will not walk therein. Preach to us all you want, preacher, but we ain't doing it. Also, I set a watchman over you, verse 17, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Toot your little horn all you want, preacher, but I ain't listening. I already made up my mind. I've had enough. Oh why will ye die, O house of Israel? How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chicks, but ye would not. I want to take you into the cover of my wings, into my safety, into my rest, and into my protection, but ye would not. Even here today, you're weary from the fight of this world. Temptation and sin has got you in every corner. You're bombarded all the way around with guilt and shame. You're disgusted with yourself. You feel like there's no hope. And for those of you that are in that boat today, I'm preaching to you, and I'm telling you today that there is a rest in the Spirit of God that you can experience today that will cause you to rest in the most phenomenal way. You can be in His glory any time of the day or night. You can be in His presence every single day. So I want to encourage that group. But then there's another group that I gotta preach to just a moment longer and say that it's a shame today that in the midst of this great harvest and revival here in Souls Harbor, there are those of you that have hardened yourselves to the true key of salvation. You've gotten so caught up with yourself, with pettiness, with selfish desires and thoughts and attitudes, that you can't even see what God is doing right here, right now. It's been so long, and I'm reading exactly the way God put it on my heart as I prayed. It's been so long since you have truly rested in the Holy Ghost. You've been deceived by the God of this world with the things that don't even matter. As I already said, you've been offended, and you are furiously watering the root of bitterness in your soul. What's worse is you continue to fake that everything's well, and it's not well with your soul. I know it's not well with your soul. I said, I know it's not well with your soul. You fixed up your hair. You got yourself all nice and prettied up. You tied that nice tie. You made a show of looking like everything's fine on the outside. But oh, I hear the voice of God saying, you Pharisee, you hypocrite, you're white on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones. You say, man, preacher, you're mean. No, man, preacher, I'm being as kind, as compassionate, as merciful as I possibly can, because I don't want you to be lost. And I hope that the word of the Lord will shake you to your core and drive you to your knees and find that place of salvation and rest in the Spirit before you neglect the day of Sabbath, before you neglect the day of rest that God has designed for your life. You have fasted for the wrong reasons. You've prayed with strife in your heart. But all you truly need to do is find rest in the Holy Ghost. All the internal struggle and fight and working in the flesh is bringing death, just like the Old Testament spoke of. A fearful thing to me today is that those that are in need of a refreshing, I'm afraid, are rebelling and getting a harder heart even as I speak. You're resistant, you're reasoning, you're justifying all the ways you're acting. All of your thoughts, you're justifying them in your mind. Well, they shouldn't have done this, and that shouldn't have happened, and this wasn't right, and that wasn't fair, and blah, 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 blah. And therein lies the problem. You haven't died. You haven't died to your carnal nature, your sinful man. You have no ability to be revived unless you die. Full of pride, refusing to be broken before the giver of life, the giver of true rest. It causes me a great deal of pain to know that I've pastored you for such a long time, and yet you're swiftly running headlong in self-willed rebellion, looking at the part of perfection on the outside, but you're simply dead on the inside. Oh, how you need a revival. Oh, how you need a refreshing. All you simply need to do is bend your knee. Bend your knee. Repent before God. Shed the pretenses. Quit being offended. Knock off all the pettiness. Run to an altar. Run to an altar and find rest again for your soul. You can't keep this charade up forever. You can't keep this charade up forever. This ain't a game. It's not a game. Guess what I am? Guess who I'm like? Guess this. It's not a charade. It's not a game. It's life and death. It's heaven or hell. It's rest or torment. It's rest or it's torment. I preached a few months ago about being caught unaware. I ended that service with the words that Paul said, "Have I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I now become your enemy after how much? And I would do it all over again, and I have even this past couple of days and weeks. After all that I prayed, the meals that I have fasted for your soul, I would do it all over again for you to find the rest, for you to find the revival, for you to get a hold of yourself. It's so simple. You want everybody to do this and fix that and say this and do that, but really what you need is a personal revival of rest. It's been so long since you rested. You're stumbling like a drunk person. No direction. Hopeless, undone, messed up, not thinking right. Your mind is cloudy. Because you're so weary. You're so weary from the labor and from the work. And we found rest. I've already said it. I have a mandate from heaven. I've sounded the alarm. I've blown the trumpet. I've given a certain sound. Sister, brother, you've got so much potential. You've got so much to offer. But you bought into the lies of the enemy. The enemy of your soul has finally hit its mark. You've had a target on your back for quite some time. And the enemy's finally hit its mark. The testimony that you have is being weighed in the balances this morning. All that God has done, the things God has delivered you from, are in the balances today as I preached. All because you have not gotten back to a place of rest, but you're filled with pride, you're filled with arrogancy. And I'm reaching to you because I love you so much. Some may say, well, this probably wasn't a good time to do this. Well, you're worth everything to me and to God. You are worth it to me for me to reach for your soul one more time. Your testimony is slipping away. Where God delivered you from, the way you used to talk, the way you used to act, the way you used to live, how God delivered you in the most miraculous way. That testimony is slipping, 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 slipping away. A spirit has taken others, even since you've been here, has now gotten a hold of you. As a matter of fact, you were one that opposed those that walked away before because of some of the things that they said, the way they acted, the way that they lived, the rebellion that they came against me. You opposed it. You were verbal to me about it. You told me how horrible it was, and now you are doing the same thing. The same spirit that got them and pulled them away has now got a hold of you. I begged God and I asked God the other night, I said, God, how do I put a stop to that spirit that it never takes another one? And I believe this is the answer. Not another one has to go, but if they don't continually find rest in my Holy Spirit, the devil will get them. He will eventually hit his mark. Because the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm preaching to you today. I'm pulling for your life. That same spirit that's pulled them out. That same spirit and attitude that's driven them. Now has got a hold of you. What are you going to do? I've begged God. He said this. I've watched your beauty in Christ fade away. Your joy has slipped to mere nothingness. You've increasingly become more critical of others, easily pointing out their faults and their failures, but despising the own nakedness and destitution of your own self. Oh, dear saint of God, while you have opportunity, while it is yet today, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Please, don't let pride stand in your way today. Come to the fountain of living water again. Come and drink deeply today. Come and drink deeply of the fountain of the river of life. Find rest for your soul. Find that refreshing. Find the rest from the weariness, from the fighting, from the struggle, from all of the labor and all of the work. Come. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. This is going to be the only way. This is going to be the only way that you'll be having the strength to step back from the brink of destruction. This will be the only hope of your salvation, is to find rest in the Holy Ghost. You can't make it on your own today. Try as you might, struggle as you will, fight as hard as you want, you won't be able to make it. Your pretty face, your long and cut hair, your pretty little dress, your nice little suit, your fancy shoes, your nice haircut, all the nice little things, although they ain't gonna save you today. Just because you look right doesn't mean you are right. Hear your pastor today. I'm pulling for your soul. I'm pulling for your soul. I'm pulling for your soul today. Don't be fooled by the enemy, but come to the fountain. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. If you're weary today, whether you've been living this way for a long time and you found yourself weary, or whether you're brand new and you're starting on this journey, let me tell you, my brother, let me tell you, my sister, it doesn't have to be wearisome. It doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be a heartache. It can be full of joy. It can be full of contentment. It can be full of peace. Come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me. See that I'm meek and lowly. Oh, you'll learn something about me. Who will teach? Who will understand? understand today? Who will have knowledge? Who will have wisdom today? Who will have good sense? Who will have good sense today to reach out to the only salvation? Come on. Who's going to reach out today to the only salvation? Come on, will you reach to the captain of your salvation? Will you reach to the only one that can bring rest for your soul? That can only give you rest from the weariness of your mind. Come on, come on, pray. Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray right now. There needs to be a breakthrough in the Spirit. There needs to be a breakthrough in the Spirit here today. Call on Him while He is near. 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 Come on. You gotta have a breakthrough in the Spirit. You gotta have a breakthrough in the Spirit. You gotta have a breakthrough in the Spirit. Come on. You gotta have a breakthrough in the Spirit. Come on, kill that old man. Kill that carnal, sinful nature. Come on, lay it behind today in an altar of repentance. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I haven't been right in my attitude. I haven't been right in my spirit. God, I haven't been right. I need your help. I'm going to be lost if you don't do something in me today, God. Touch me in a miraculous way, God. I don't want to be lost. Come on. Come on. Come on today. Will you cry out to the Lord? Will you lift up your voice? Will you call on the Lord today? Will you call on the Lord today? Will you call on the Lord today? Have mercy on me, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice right now. Come on, lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice right now. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Come on, this is not about to be a quiet place right now. This ought to be a place of deep intercession, of deep travail. This ought to be a place right now of deep prayer. God, we need a miracle here. God, we need a miracle here. I'm not going to be the one that stops revival. I'm not going to be the one that stops a harvest. I'm not going to be the one, God. I'm going to give it in. I'm going to push forward. I'm going to find rest. I'm going to find joy again. I'm going to find peace again. I'm going to find contentment again. I'm going to get back into the rest of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Don't be ashamed here today. There's no shame today. There's no shame today. Today is a day of salvation. There's no shame today. Do you hear the pastor today? There's no shame today. To lift up your hands, throw your head back. God, wash me, cleanse me, purify me. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's no shame. Let us pray. Let us pray together. There's no shame. There's no shame. God, I need your mercy. God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. can't make it without you.